Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah and chapter number 3. The book of Isaiah and chapter number 3. We are beginning in the still early stages of going through the book of Isaiah. As we go through this book, we know that this book is covering a period where the children of Israel are divided into two kingdoms. You have the northern kingdom of Samaria and the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom of Samaria is going to be quickly wiped off the map. In 722 BC, the Assyrians are going to come. And God is going to over and over refer and point to them and say, judgment is close. Judgment is near. Judgment is coming. Judgment is here. With the idea that any time that God gives prophecy and warning, it is always for the purpose of changing behavior. And in Isaiah chapter number 3, God is going to list and explain that judgment is not a future thing. It is something that is presently going on. And he explains this judgment that has been fallen on the people, and we understand why. Notice with me in the book of Isaiah chapter number 3, and notice with me beginning at verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread, the whole stay of water, the mighty man, the man of war, the judge, and the prophet, and the prudent, and the ancient, the captain of the 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes to rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. And the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man take a hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. And that day he shall answer, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house there is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul! For they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye unto the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead, standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people, the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard and the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts? Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their canals, and their round tires like the moon, the chains, the bracelets, the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs, the handbeds, the tabrets, the earrings, the rings, the nose rings, the changeable suits of apparel, and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen, the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell, there shall be a stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. Instead of a well, set hair boldness. And instead of a stomacher, a grinding sackcloth, and a burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and the mighty by the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. And if you're the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 3? The book of Isaiah in chapter number 3, and notice with me in verse 1, the phrase, the stay and the staff. The stay and the staff. And with the Lord's help, we're going to explain the stay and the staff and show you the judgment of God is not a future event for these folks, but as a current thing, the judgment of God was upon them then. The stay and the staff. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you now, we're just asking that you give grace and mercy and understanding. Help us to be able to understand what you are attempting to teach us right now, Lord, and that we would respond properly. I'm asking, Lord, and I beg that you fill me with your precious spirit, that it would be your word and your spirit that gets this accomplished, nothing that I do. Lord, left to my own devices, I will ruin it, I will offend, I will make it worse. But with your spirit, we have conviction and a proper response that we could put our dependence upon you even now. Lord, we trust you for you to do your own work, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Inside of the book of Isaiah, we find a very interesting thing. We see in Isaiah chapter 3 and verses 2 to 3, we could see that God is going immediately to the top, to the leadership, and is pointing out all of these leaders and that they have failed. Notice, if you don't mind, we see this listing of these leaders. We have the mighty men. This is the military heroes. We have the men of war. These are the soldiers. We have the judges. Those are those that sit on the thrones who make the rulings. We have the prophet. These are those who preach lies. The prudent are known as diviners. They seek to claim, they claim to receive revelation from heaven. It says the ancient. These are the elders and the grandfathers, those that should know better. We have the captains. These are the leaders of the military. We have the honorable men. These are the respected community leaders. We have the counselors. They are to be the advisors and the strategist. We have the cunning artificer. This is the skilled craftsman. We have the eloquent orator, the great spokesman. God targets these people in this listing and these two verses here. He's pointing out that these are the people that should have known better. These are the leaders and expects them to have a higher standard. In fact, what is the standard that God expects for leaders? Hold your finger here. We're going to quickly just show God's expectation in Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, we have the expectation of what leadership should be doing and what God expects leaders to be doing. We're coming back to Isaiah in just a moment, but we want to see that what God's standard was so we can know what these people had fallen from, what they failed to do. Psalm 1 and verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted in the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall not wither, and whithersoever he doth shall prosper." Notice here, God has an expectation in verse 1 that the leaders, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. These are people that say, "I don't want to listen to what the ungodly says, I'm going to stick with the Bible." "Nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Notice, if you don't mind those verbs, we're not doing a study on Psalm, but it's interesting. Walketh, standeth, sitteth. It carries the idea that they are not a part of the world and its system. They're not sitting with them. They're not standing with them. They're not walking with them. They are apart from them and the influences. They are separated from the world and unto the Lord. And as they make the law of God their delight, notice this picture in verse 3. "And he," this leader, this person plugged into the Bible, "shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Someone who's plugged into the Bible properly, this is the picture, that you have a tree that's right by a riverbank, and its roots are able to grow right into the river, and it has a constant source of water, of nutrients, so its leaf never withers. So if you can imagine a heat wave, this is a desert, and a heat wave, it is so nourished that even in the middle of a heat wave, the leaf is flourishing, green, full of life. That's what God wants us to be, that in the middle of the desert, we're still flourishing because we're plugged into the right source. But when you're not plugged into the right source and you're sitting and walking and standing in a world system that's against God, you're going to wither and dry up during these times of judgment and during the times of drought and the times of famine. That's this whole idea that we now find in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 3. The book of Isaiah, chapter 3. So God points out that these leaders have failed. As a result of this, the judgment has already come. Notice with me verse 1. "For behold," remember in the Bible, "behold," says you watch this. This should be something that amazes you. "For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and Judah." What did God take away? The stay and the staff. What is the stay? The stay is in a masculine form, and it carries the idea of the supply of essential needs. In fact, notice at the end of verse 1, the stay of bread and the stay of water. Isn't bread and water essential needs? And the Bible says, because of these leaders, because the leaders are not responding as leaders, God is going to remove the staff and the stay. The stay, again, is the essential things that we need. The staff is in a feminine case form, and it carries with it the idea of like a crutch, something that provides support. And God says, because biblical leadership is not acting like leadership, they're not plugged into the Bible, they're sitting, standing, and walking in the counsel of the ungodly, in the seat of the scornful, they're in the midst of all of that, God says, "I am going to take away the stay and the staff. I am going to take away those essential needs. I am going to take away the things that are propping them up. I am taking away these things." You understand, the judgment is not later on, the judgment is upon them. What does it truly mean when God takes away the stay and the staff? Now, one weaving principle you are going to find all throughout Isaiah is that God is saying, you are not depending on me. You're not depending on me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, my God shall supply all your need and his riches, in his riches through Christ Jesus. You understand, our dependence should be always on God. But when our dependence is not on God and on something else, then when that something else is taken away, we are going to be hurting and we are going to wither and we're going to die when the famine comes, when the heat comes, when the hard time comes, when we are dependent on government checks or businesses or even dependent on our families. Those sources will dry up. And when we're not plugged into the Lord, we are going to lose that stay and the staff. What does it mean when the stay and staff are removed? If you don't mind, I'd like to show you three things in this passage and show you what this judgment looks like, this judgment of the stay and staff being removed. First of all, when the stay and staff are removed, the leadership is broken down. When the stay and the staff are removed, the leadership is broken down. Watch this, verse 4. And I will give children to be their princes, amen, and babes shall rule over them. These are people who don't know any better. These are people who are placed in positions of power that do not know how to control that power. Immature people are in leader. Now, here's the problem, that God has ordained biblical leadership. May I go a step further and be very, very specific? God has put biblical leadership of men. And when men have failed to do their biblical duty, someone has to be in charge. And instead of men being in charge, immature people take their place. When immature people are in leadership, it is an evidence that the judgment of God is already on a place. Not that when we vote immature people to be our leaders, the judgment of God is going to fall upon us. Instead, it is evidence that the judgment of God is already on us. Notice with me verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, notice this, and women rule over them. O my people, they which leave thee shall cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Not only children, but when the stay and staff removed, leadership is broken down, that you have people who are immature, who have taken leadership positions. But not only that, when men are refusing to take their proper place, someone has to do it. And the Bible says that women have to rise up to take their place. Notice that it is not saying that if we have women ruling over us, that the judgment of God is going to come. It's saying that when the women are in leadership positions, it is because the judgment of God is already here, because people have failed to do their job as leaders. You understand what I'm saying now? That God has ordained biblical leadership. May we say that one of the things we face here is a lack of biblical leadership, and someone has to take the place. That's a judgment of God, because men have failed to do and follow what the Bible has to say. And now we come to a place where God has already removed the stay and the staff. And now, as an evidence that the judgment has come, we have immature people who've taken leadership roles. We have the place where women have taken the leadership role. Now, again, you understand I'm not disparaging women, and neither is the Lord. But we understand that someone was supposed to take the leadership role, and that someone has failed. So someone else has had to rise up. Again, I'm preaching to the choir, but almost everyone in here can say we have male leadership that failed inside of the family. Male leadership that failed to take their responsibility. And someone has to take these things up. It's an evidence of the judgment of God is not coming, but it is already here. Not only that, notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 6 and 7. The Bible says that when the stay and staff remove, that leadership is destroyed. As an evidence that the judgment of God is coming, we have put in leadership positions, or in leadership positions, you have immature, childish people. You have women who are taking the positions when it should have been men stepping up and doing their jobs. But notice with me verses 6 and 7. When a man shall take a hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler. Here's this. When the staff and stay come, not only the children come, not only the women are put in sin, but we see the unqualified are placed. Notice, hey, you got a suit of clothes. Why don't you be the leader? Is that how we base qualifications?
No.
You dress nice. Isn't that kind of, if you would be honest with our nation, that we've kind of put unqualified people in positions just because they tick a box? Yep. Because they meet some criteria that doesn't match the job qualification, but they tick some other box? And so you get unqualified people who are in positions that they should not be upon. There are scary things out there. I remember counseling and dealing with a family. She said, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I was looking for hope. So I went into a church hoping that they would give me some hope. And they said, oh, you want to teach a Sunday school class? And next thing you know, I found myself teaching a Sunday school class. That's common. That's very common. That people said, I just need a spot filled. I don't care. Do you got a suit of clothes? Do you look nice? You're qualified. You're not qualified. But this is what happens, is that people are trying to find someone to be in leadership, and they will find something. Here, you have a suit. You're qualified. Why don't you be our leader? We find some pretty stupid reasons to put people in leadership, by the way. And that is an evidence that the judgment of God is not coming, but it is here now. When you have unqualified people who are in a position, why do we have to put an unqualified person in a position? Because the people who should be there is not stepping up and acting like the biblical leaders that God intended to do. It is an evidence that judgment has already come. We need people who are qualified to fill those positions again. May I be very blunt? We need to have male leadership back into churches who are reading their Bibles, who are leading their families, who are leading the way of how to follow after Christ. But because we don't, other people have to fill those spots. Power abhors a vacuum. Something is going to fill that spot. And when that happens, it's not saying that when women are in leadership or childish people are in leadership that judgment is going to come. What the Bible is saying is that judgment is already here. And it is an evidence that the judgment of God is already fallen. Notice again in verse 6, and when a man should take a hold of his brother and of the house and the father, saying, thou hast clothing. Be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. Listen, we're looking for you for answers. You have a suit. You're in charge. Help us out of our problem. Verse 7, and in that day he shall swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house there is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. Verse 7, he says, I don't have any answers. Why are you looking at me? We have lots of people, and I'm not going to comment on live on an air, but we got lots of people in leadership who are incompetent, and they do not have the answers. And it's proven they don't have the answers. Why do we have incompetent people who are in leadership positions, who are voted just because checking off a box? Because we haven't had the people who God put in position to be, to step up and be the leaders that they ought to be. And now we have the judgment of God already on us. Now, by the way, something had failed long before this. The people stopped getting close to God, stopped depending on God, stopped reading their Bible, stopped behaving like they were supposed to. And they stepped down from leadership. Someone else had to take their place. As we study this passage, we see a second thing as an evidence. What happens when the stay and staff are removed? We know that when the stay and staff are removed, that leadership breaks down. We also see that when the stay and staff are removed, the family is broken down. The family is broken down. Notice with me in verse 5. This is frightening things. Verse 5, and the people shall be oppressed one by another, and everyone by his neighbor. Notice this, and the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, meaning those who are in authority, those who should have respect, parents, grandparents, other authority. They shall behave himself proudly against the ancient and the base that was honorable. What we see here is that children are rebellious. They act proudly before the elders. They have no respect for parents. The children get out of control. Now, it doesn't say that when the children get out of control, the judgment of God's going to come. What this is saying is that because the children are rebellious, it is evidence that the judgment of God has already come. Now, that makes sense. Because what has happened is that the people have told God, we don't want you part of our lives. We don't want you in our everyday lives. We don't want you in our schools. We don't want you in our government. We don't want you in our homes. We don't want you in our living room. We don't want you on our television. We want you to stay away. And God says, okay. Okay. You understand that part of the judgment of God is for God to say, okay, see you later. See how well you do. What happens because we don't have God in our lives, we're not going to obey God's rules. And when you're not obeying God's rules, you cannot raise children the way they ought to be. The result is rebellious, uncontrollable children. Whenever you see that Walmart child, it is evidence that the judgment of God is already upon us. People don't know how to control their children anymore. They do not know how to raise their children. They are clueless. No clue to even start off with. And that's not an exaggeration. I talk with parents. They do not know how to raise their children. And when a good old-fashioned Bible-believing preacher attempts to help them, they look at me like I'm crazy. Biblical discipline, consequences, work. You teach a child to mow their lawn when they're 7, wash dishes when they're 5. Yes, work. Bible says that, not preacher. Bible says God knew what he was doing. We follow him and it works. And when people think they come up with a different way, they're saying, God, I've got a better plan than you. And we find out that our plan doesn't work. And the judgment of God does not come because of that. It's an evidence that the judgment of God is here. The children are rebellious. Parents have no clue how to correct their children from their wrongs. Notice with me verse 16. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a tinkling with their feet. What we see is that not only are children in rebellion, but we see women are disgraced. Women are disgraced. This is part that the judgment is already here. It says the daughters of Zion are haughty. This means arrogant. It means proud. It means everything they do is all about them. Notice this. It says, moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walked with stretched forth necks. This carries the idea of a body position where, look at me, look at me, look at me. Notice this, and wanton eyes. Wanton carries the idea of flirting. They have flirting eyes. Now, we're not ignorant. We understand that a lot of women spend a lot of time to make their eyes more attractive. The wanton flirting eyes. Mixed crowd. Do your own research. You ask me later. Never mind. Not recording. Cool. Wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go. This carries away the way that they walk is all meant to attract attention. That women walk in such a way, look at me, look at me. And in case that didn't work, make a tinkling with their feet. This is actually type of bells type thing they have on their anklet that jingles, so they get attention. Amen. Look at me. Look at me, every step, look at me, look at me. The way that they walk, the way that they look, the way they dress, look at me, look at me, look at me. Verse 17, therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their coals. And their round tires like a moon. You might want to study that one in the Greek, right? Round tires. Good. The chains, the bracelets, the mufflers. The mufflers is more like a veil, not like what you have in the car. It doesn't keep them quiet. It's carrying the idea that these things, God's going to take away all these things that are bringing attention to them. But that's part of the judgment when we have the ladies who are debasing themselves, who are disgracing themselves by the way they walk, the way that they talk, the way that they move, the way that they dress, the way they do stuff. They have disgraced themselves. You know, there is something about modesty that is still very, very powerful. Notice it goes on. The bonnets, the ornaments of the legs, the headbands, the tablets, the earrings, the rings, the nose jewels. Notice all of this is talking about women attire. It's like walking in a mall. The list goes on because the women still have more attire. The changeable suits of apparel, the mantles, the wimples, the crisping pins, the glasses, the fine linen, the hoods, the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell, there shall be a stink. Instead of a well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a stomacher, a grinding sackcloth. and burning instead of beauty. God is saying that when the stay and staff are removed, the children are rebellious, but the women are disgraced. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. It's all about me. Pay attention to me. Remember, all of this is talking about the judgment of God coming. When the judgment of God comes, he removes the stay and the staff. Long before Jerusalem was destroyed, they already had the judgment of God upon them and they didn't even know it. Because the people who were supposed to be in biblical leadership refused to step up. Other people had to take their spot. Childish people, immature people, women taking the leadership, people who are unqualified taking the leadership. As part of the judgment of God, the children are rebellious and the women are disgraced. We understand that when the staff and the stay come, leadership is destroyed. Homes are broken down. But when the stay and the staff are removed, the fear of God is gone. The fear of God is gone. You see, people fail to realize who God is. When people have rejected the Lord, they no longer know nor care who the Lord is. They get satisfied with a replacement God who is not the God of the Bible. Remember, we live in the spirit of Antichrist. The word anti doesn't mean against, it means a replacement of. And people don't mind a belief in God as long as it's not the God of the Bible. Notice with me in verse 1, Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts. You understand that studying the names of God are so important of knowing who God is. You know, very few Christians have ever heard a message on the Lord of hosts, much less even know this title and what it means. What is the Lord of hosts? That God is the God of all the armies of heaven. You know what that implies? There's fighting. There's a warfare. There are things going on. People don't like the warfare. But we have a God who's able to fight and win all of our battles. Amen. People don't believe in a God like that. They don't believe God is strong enough to fight their battles for them. They have a replacement God. In verse 2, we could see that God just judges justly. He's not a respecter of persons. There's no special treatment. God judges everyone equally. Notice with me verse 3. Or verse 8 rather. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. What are the eyes of his glory? It carries the idea that God sees everything. And by the way, God doesn't see things through rose-colored glasses. He doesn't see things through a prism. God sees everything clearly, and he sees things based off of his standard of holiness. Everything is judged to his standard of holiness. He sees everything as it is, and he doesn't explain it away or excuse it away. He sees it perfectly and says, this has fallen short. This has fallen short. This is not where it should be. We have a God who sees everything. People fail to see who God is. And they fail to see what God does. Notice with me in verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away. You know, most people don't believe that God takes things away. You know what they believe? That God is my Santa Claus in the sky. He's my genie in the lamp. He does whatever I tell him to do. His only job is to make me comfortable, to make me happy, to make me satisfied, to make me with no problems. But that's not the God of the Bible. Our God is the God of judgment. He is God. We're his servant. And God is able to take things away. He has every right to do with what is his. You know what we deserve? Nothing. Anything beyond nothing is a blessing and a graciousness of God. And God is able to take away at his will, and he's still good and he's still right. But people don't know that God. They only see a God who's there. I can live however I want, but when I call on him, he better answer. That's not the God of the Bible. But that's the God most people want to imagine in their head. A God who's only there to meet their needs when they want God to answer. Verse 11. Woe unto the wicked. We're going to run into that word woe quite a bit in Isaiah. That word woe means cursed. Cursed unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. What we see is that this is a God that judges sin. The wicked will pay a price. We have a God who judges sin. People do not like to think of a God who judges sin. They like to think of a God who just rewards us when we do good and turns a blind eye when we do something bad. But there's a God who hates sin and will judge sin. In fact, verse 13, the Lord standeth up to plead, to standeth to judge the people. Now, verse 13 is very interesting, because what we find in most of the Bible, when you look at God, he is sitting on a throne. He is sitting on the throne. But when God stands up from the throne, that should be getting attention. When he's sitting on the throne, everything's all right. Everything's calm. He's got everything well in hand. He's sitting on the throne. But notice this. He's not sitting here. The Lord standeth up to plead. That should put chills in us. God is saying, please stop doing this. Please don't go this way. Please fix this. Please don't go this way. I'm trying to get your attention. He's standing up to plead. Please don't go this direction anymore. The Lord standeth up to plead, and the Lord standeth up to judge the people. Please don't do this, because you're going to make me judge you. You're like, that's not the God I know. I'm not going to turn there. But in the book of Deuteronomy, do you know that it says that God delights to bring judgment? They have not hit that part in Deuteronomy. God delights in mercy. But God is a God of judgment, and his holiness must be fulfilled. And he will gives us an opportunity to repent, to turn to him. But God delights in justice and judgment. And if that's what is necessary to satisfy his judgment, he will. You see, people are not familiar with the God of the Bible. You see, people will look at the condition of the judgment of God upon our land now, and they think we're fine. We're good. People will still sing, God bless America. They don't realize that the judgment of God is already upon them. By the way, that's exactly what the people of Judah thought. They thought they were good and God can never judge them. They thought they were safe. As long as we tick off a box and we do something religious every now and again, we're fine. And they were not fine. You see, the judgment of God was not coming. The judgment of God was already upon them. He had already taken the staff and the stay, and it was evidenced in their land. And God is not coming for judgment upon America. Judgment is already here. He's already removed the staff and the stay, and we have the evidence of it. Now, remember what we saw in Psalm 1, that when we're plugged into God and we're plugged into the Word of God, we can prosper even in the midst of the desert. Amen. Even in the midst of hard times, we could still prosper as a tree planted by the river of water. But you understand, we're in trouble. What do we do with a message like this? What most people would try to do is say, well, our country's in trouble. We need to pray for America. Judgment's already here. But God doesn't bring revivals to a nation. He brings revivals to individuals. And it's us that we need to make sure we are right with God. It's very easy to point the finger and blame someone else. But when we realize, I need to get right with God. I need to make sure that I'm plugged into His Word. I need to make sure that when the famine happens, when the heat happens, when the desert happens, when war happens, I need to make sure I'm plugged into God that I can still prosper and thrive spiritually when those hard times come. And the only way that it comes is if I'm plugged into God. Because when the staff and the stay are taken and you are not plugged into God, you will wither up and die like everyone else. It is me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need to make sure I'm right with God. I need to make sure that I'm plugged in. I know that the judgment, we have the discernment, the judgment of God is here. I need to make sure that I am doing my part. You say, what is my part? Very first is obeying. How did we get to the staff and the stay? How did we get to the judgment of God? Because we're not very good at obeying. Why did biblical leadership not want to be biblical leadership? Because people didn't want to obey. Is that a good, valid reason? Yeah, it is. People, they should have there, but people don't listen. Leadership should be plugged into God. People don't want to obey. And the more that people don't want to obey, the harder it is for biblical leadership to be biblical leadership. Why keep kicking against the pricks? Our part is that if we're supposed to be the follower, follow, obey. Most people, and we're going to see that all throughout Isaiah, pick and choose their obediences. It doesn't sound good to me, so I'm not going to do that. You understand the principle. If we're going to have the type of revival the Bible talks about, is that we obey everything biblical authority gives us to us. As long as it's not immoral, legal, unbiblical, do our best. That if it's just suggested. But we're not good at obeying. We don't prepare to obey. May I give a practical example? Pastor encourages us to read devotions. Well, it wasn't stated as a command. But we should practice obeying it. Is it going to hurt you? Then why wouldn't you? But we like to pick and choose what we obey, which is part of how we got here in the first place. That we need to become good, obedient servants of the Lord so we could plug into His power and we could thrive. He said, what about the judgment of God upon America? We need to worry about the judgment of God upon us first. Amen. Amen. And we need to make sure that we are right in our positions, what God has placed us to be. So God can bless us. So hopefully we could reach out to a world that's under judgment and get them plugged into God too. Amen. Yes. If we could give a weak illustration. If you're on a plane and the emergency mask comes off, they say, take the mask and put it on you first before you help someone else. Let's make sure we're plugged into God the way that we ought to. So then we can go around and help those who need the help. The idea is that we need to make sure. In a church like this, it's very easy to point and say, well, this message is for someone else because they didn't take the leadership position. I'm where I'm at. We can't do anything about them. The only person you could deal with is you. Are you where you're supposed to be? Are you plugged in the way you're supposed to? Are you making sure that you have the blessings of God, even if everyone else is starting to have the judgment? Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you, Lord, we're just asking that you would just use this to draw us close to you. Without a doubt, looking in your Bible and looking at our country the way it is, America is currently present tense under the judgment of God. The staff and stay have been removed. And Lord, now's the time that we need to make sure that we are plugged into you properly, that we can still thrive and flourish when the desert and the famine and everything else come. We need to make sure that we're in the right position. And a message like this, it is still very easy in our flesh to go blame someone else for the reason that we're here. We can't do anything about anyone else but ourselves. Lord, help us to take an honest look at ourselves and make sure that we are where we're supposed to be in the standing that we ought to be, obedient to where you want us to be. Again, we need you, and we can't do anything without you. Draw us close to you now, Lord. Help us to be dependent upon you and who you are. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.